I imagine someone going, whoa. It's always in the background. All right. Well, I guess kind of the summary here, walk me through the quick version of the last 2 weeks for you. Because this has got to be just a pretty up and down, right?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 weeks has been absolutely a roller coaster, a whirlwind. You know, making a decision to suspend my campaign based off of the information that I had, which is a really a tough decision to make. And then coming back into this race because so much information has changed since I stepped out of this race. And I like to make the best decisions based off of the data, based off of the facts. And because that have changed, I'm back into this race. Yes, it's been a whirlwind, but we have seen an incredible amount of momentum since coming in back into the game. And so to have Governor Evers' endorsement, Labor's, mayors all across the state of Wisconsin, we're really excited as far as what we're going to be able to do on August 11th and ultimately win the governorship and keep it blue on November 3rd.
So in look, somewhere down the road when you have time to reflect, do you think there'll be an idea that maybe this was a benefit to you, like because it was a bigger splash coming back in, as opposed to if you just stayed in the race and then had a surge?
Well, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20, right? And so, you know, trying to, you know, wonder what would have happened or how things would have unfolded if I was in this race, you don't know. I can't look into a crystal ball. But we did see a resurgence of energy. I mean, I think we had more people at our relaunch party that was at our launch party. And now I think it's become more of a real opportunity for us to not only just win this governorship, but to flip the state senate, flip the state assembly. And so I'm really excited as far as the momentum that we're building, but we can't make it seem as if we're just going to coast, you know, through this primary. I have to earn every single vote, and I plan on doing that.
So there's a narrative that's clearly shaping of Francesca Hong, mm-hmm. who's been polling pretty consistently in the lead. She's over on the farther left with her platform. And then there's like everyone else kind of seemed who can be head to head with her. Mm-hmm. Is there a concern that the rest of you could kind of split the centrist moderate votes of those that either like you guys better or are worrying about a general election that she might not be best suited for?
Well, this is a democracy, right? And that means that anybody can get into these, you know, run for office, run for a county exec office, or run for governor. I'll be the first to say just because you're running doesn't mean you should become the next governor. But ultimately, we all have the same goal, is to make sure that we can tackle the affordability crisis, that people can afford, you know, to pay for their own groceries, afford housing, childcare, healthcare, you name it, and ultimately defeat Tom Tiffany. We don't want to see a Republican, a MAGA extremist, occupying the governor's office. So no matter what happens post-primary, it's extremely important that Democrats hunker down. We got to come to the table and focus on building the necessary coalition in order to defeat Tiffany in November.
So when you look at the landscape here, there's a lawsuit that's been filed by the Democratic Party trying to allow people to spoil absentee ballots. There are a lot of people that have voted already. Not everyone wants to change their mind on how they voted.
Yeah.
But how big of a factor does that play when we're talking about something that may be a close election in the end?
I mean, this is not about, you know, the candidates. This is about the people, right? And so, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we suspended our campaign July 8th. They came up with this guidance July 9th. And so I think it's important that you allow people's voices to be heard. And when I received all those phone calls while I was out of this race, a lot of people were quite frankly disappointed because they felt like they cast their ballot and it was for naught. And so I commend the Democratic Party of Wisconsin pushing this lawsuit, trying to overturn the guidance that was given. And not that it's just bad guidance, but we're so close to an election. We're just a little over a month from this election. And so with this being a critical election for Democrats picking the right nominee, I do think that there's merit to the case that the Democratic Party is bringing to the Wisconsin Election Commission to allow everybody's voice to be heard.
So polling shows anywhere from, you know, a third to half of Democratic voters are still undecided. Are they going to follow the leader? Are they going to look, are those people, do you think, looking for who's got momentum, who's got the best chance? Because there's a theory that they don't want to spoil their vote on someone who doesn't have, even if it's their favorite candidate, that's someone who's not going to win. So are they looking to see who's going to take that lead and join the winning team kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we start off with, what, like 6 to 7 to 9 candidates in this race. And so I can imagine how overwhelming that could be for many voters. But I work with many of these candidates in some type of capacity at the state level or as a county executive. And I know it's tough for a lot of voters, but I just want them to look at not just what we want to bring to the state of Wisconsin as far as our vision and the mission to make sure that every single community, rural, suburban, urban, has an opportunity to thrive, but who's in the best position to actually get it done. You know, I'm the only executive in this race, and I've had a great opportunity to do great work here in Milwaukee County, and and extend that work across the state of Wisconsin. And I want to make sure that we can do the exact same thing as the next governor.
Now, Republicans and national media are jumping all over the Democrats in disarray and chaos. Is there something to be said for having more attention? Like, people are now waking up like, oh, wow, there is an election. I may have forgotten about that.
Well, you know, the Republican Party, I mean, they're always throwing names and throwing bombs out there. I mean, heck, they're even investing in meddling in our Democratic primary for governor. And so for me, I would like the Republicans to focus on their side of the aisle, focus on what they need to be doing while we sort this out. And again, democracy can be messy. And, you know, people are going to focus on their candidate. They're going to push their candidate. But we can't continue to tear down one another, right? And it doesn't matter where you lay on the political spectrum as a Republican or as a Democrat or a Democratic Socialist of America or MAGA. Our goal is to make sure that we're delivering results for working families, for real people here in the state of Wisconsin. And so I'm not worried about the labels and where people side on the political spectrum, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of gray in politics. And we need government to work again. It doesn't matter what you believe in or who you want to vote. We know that we have to do better.
So there's a theory that no matter what it looks like right now, of how clean or neat the Democratic primary may be, once it's over, as long as there's unity, this will be forgotten by the time or anywhere close to ballots coming out in the fall. Is that fair, do you think?
I think it is fair. You know, I think that, you know, we've experienced a lot of trauma, you know, in the past decade when you think about our elections, right? And we're still relitigating the 2020 election related to whether Donald Trump lost or not, and he absolutely did. But I do think this is healthy, right, for us to focus on not just the candidate themselves, but the policies and the coalition that they can build. And so this provides a great opportunity for voters to really do a deep dive into each candidate and what they bring to the table. But we know this can be messy. And so I just want folks to understand that, you know, while we are fighting for our candidate, let's make sure we're respecting one another and focused on our ultimate goal come August 12th.
So talking about that, Tom Tiffany's had the field to himself for quite a while. He's been running a lot of positive ads, portraying himself as the friendly guy at the bar. Is that going to be too much to overcome when it comes to redefining him in the eyes of people that may not have had an opinion of him before?
You know, I don't think that we have to redefine him, because he's defined himself already. I mean, he has been in Congress for a few years, almost a decade, if I'm not mistaken. And what his record shows is that he is willing to do whatever Trump tells him to do or vote whatever Trump wants. And when he doesn't like it and doesn't want to take a bad vote, he just doesn't show up to session. And I think that people need to understand who he is. I mean, he's created barriers, put up barriers when it comes down to reproductive freedom. He doesn't believe that we should be investing in childcare and public education. He wants to freeze, you know, our utility rates, which means that we're going to have to burn more coal and we won't be able to invest in the clean energy infrastructure that we need here in the state of Wisconsin. And so we don't have to redefine. We just have to make sure that people know who he has always been. And like my grandma used to say, you know, when someone shows you who they are the first time, you have to believe them. And I think at the end of the day, we have to show who exactly Tom Tiffany has been, not just as a congressman, but also as a state representative, or excuse me, a state senator as well.
Will there be enough money for Democrats to be able to do that? There's stories coming out about the national DNC being deep in debt. The state Democratic Party has not raised nearly as much as some people might have expected to be able to transfer to the winning candidate. Obviously, you guys are spending all your money right now.
Yeah.
What's that period going to look like in mid-August when he's running ads attacking the winner and Democrats are still trying to fundraise?
Well, we've been able to see a surge in fundraising in the past couple of days, and we want to continue that momentum, because unfortunately, it does take money to run these types of races. And you think about how much money we're spending in these races, we could be solving the problems that we're actually talking about and running these campaigns on. And so we know that we have to continue to talk to as many grassroots supporters as possible, because it's about putting your money where your mouth is, right? And so if we want to not just win the governorship and keep it blue, but if you want to take over the state senate, take over the state assembly, it's going to take money. But there's one other power that I believe Trump's, pun not intended, money power is, and that's people power. And so as long as we continue to build the necessary coalition where we have voters, we have supporters, we have folks who are willing to volunteer their time to talk about this message, about what is actually on the ballot, because it's not just the candidates, it's reproductive freedom. It's affordable housing. Right, it's childcare, it's healthcare, it's expanding Badger Care, it's making sure that our farmers get access to, you know, the resources that they need so they can become more sustainable, because they're not looking for a handout. And so as long as we continue to do that, build this momentum, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll keep the governorship.
So you've been in this race, obviously, for a long time, since last fall. You've had months and months to travel the state, meet people, shake hands. Is this last stretch, though, just about dollars and campaign ads and getting your message out, or is it still about meeting people even in these last couple days?
All of the above. You know, you're going to need those dollars, right? Those dollars help to pay for, you know, lodging while we're traveling across the state, gasoline at the pump while we're traveling across the state, and putting up ads, utilizing both traditional and non-traditional media. But it's also, I have to go out there. You know, we have been traveling all across the state. We've been in DePere, we've been in Marinette, we've been in La Crosse, we've been in Viroqua, we've been in Beloit, we've been in Madison, and all those days in just the past five, all those places in just the past 5 days. And so I don't plan on leaving no stone unturned, and we're going to put a lot more miles on the truck to make sure that we're earning every vote across Wisconsin.
Have you noticed people that maybe weren't as tuned into your campaign, but now with like the return, it's like, oh, well, now I do want to check this guy out. You know, Governor Evers said, listen to this guy.
Well, I think that right now this is where people are actually starting to tune in a lot more. And so, you know, the relaunch definitely helped us with that momentum. And we know we need to continue to ride that wave, but it's going to take some hard work. So I'm looking forward to, you know, traveling all across the state with Governor Evers by my side, making the case on why I'll be the best governor for the state of Wisconsin.
If you win, is this going to be the new platform, like suspend midterm and then relaunch?
I would not recommend anybody to suspend their campaign in the middle of this. You know, I'll tell you that, you know, we suspended our campaign, you know, we endorsed, and once that information came out that next Monday, I started getting all of these phone calls. And I'll be honest with you, I said no. Me and my wife, we said no. We booked a trip to Jamaica. We're ready to leave at the end of this month. But we prayed about it. And after that prayer, our prayer was actually answered. And so, you know, the biggest lesson that I've learned throughout all this, make sure you buy travel insurance.
But there had to be, because people talked about, like, the numbers in campaign financing, like, the numbers raised represent a momentum behind them. And when the numbers are inflated, that's not the true picture.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be a gut punch of like, what? Like,
well, I mean, it was a gut punch. But, you know, I talked to the Lieutenant Governor twice during that week before I got into the race. And I let her know, while I was angry and disappointed by what had happened, I do not believe this is her fault. This is her campaign manager's fault, who she fired. I was still going to continue to back her, because at the time, that's what the information and the data said that we should do to make sure that we're allowing the best candidate to win this race. But when she made her decision to drop out, I made my decision to get back in. And so now, you know, I'm going to continue to talk to as many people as possible, keep my energy up, raise the funds. And I think that is showing that we're building so much momentum. $550,000 raised in the first 5 days. Volunteers, labor organizations, elected officials, including Governor Evers, endorsing us because they know about my judgment. They know the experience that I bring, and they know that I care about the people of Wisconsin.
So is Jamaica rebooked, or is it just on hold?
I'm trying to still figure that out as far as what we're going to do with Jamaica, but hopefully I'll find out soon, because we're supposed to be leaving on July 30th. So.
All right. Anything else you want to add along these lines?
I think you hit everything.
All right. That's what we need. Thank you.
Thank
you. Appreciate
it.
Thanks for coming in.